born in 1592 in the Highlands of Scotland, and he is still alive. He is immortal, constantly facing other immortals in combat to the death. The winner takes his enemy's head, and with it, his power. We know the truth about immortals. In the end, there can be only one. May it be Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
We're going to start in 3, 2, 1. And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander Season 4, Episode 13, Something Wicked. And here to talk to you about it, as we are every week, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and with me is Audie. And how are you this week, sir?
Doing good. Recovering from Easter.
Yeah.
Which was, it was good for us this year because Julia's not tied to a church, so we could actually go somewhere. So we went up to Atlanta with my parents and stuff. So
nice.
Had a good time.
I was in the middle of streaming some Skyrim Sunday when I realized, oh, it's almost 5 o'clock and I was supposed to be at my parents' house like 45 minutes ago. Whoops. Stream's done, everybody. And I bolted out the door with Bella and went over there for dinner.
Nice. So,
like, I just spaced it completely out. But
sure,
it was good. It was relaxing. It was going to be low-key anyway, so nobody was upset. Food had just, like, the ham had just gotten done.
Nice. We didn't do anything traditional food-wise, so we had church, and then after church, my family has always gone to this pizza sandwich shop down the road, and it's like, oh, some of the best pizza and wings ever, and it was so good.
I actually, over the weekend, had pizza from a new place here called Marco's, and it was very good.
Nice.
And so I'm thrilled because they have not only pizzas, but they do like what they call pizza bakes, which is just no crust in a bowl with all the pizza toppings and stuff. So I want to try that out. But they also do sandwiches and wings and salads and all kind of the basic stuff. But I liked what I had, and they had some good options. And they had like hand tossed, thick crust, cracker thin crust, or what they call light, which is just a thinner version of their hand tossed. I'm like, oh, I got some options, and it's really convenient for me to get to. So
nice.
I'm excited about that.
Sweet.
So we have quite the episode this week.
Yeah, we do.
I remembered it, and I remembered parts of it differently than what I watched, in good ways. What I remembered ended up being a lot better in reality than my memory of it. So that was good.
Sure.
I do like that this episode, we'll get into it, but they brought in some new lore too that I thought was really fascinating.
Yeah, so, they do.
I think before we get started on that, though, it's Watcher Chronicle time.
Heck yeah.
February 12th, 1996. Dawson had me follow MacLeod and Richie out to the forest where they were meeting up with Jim Koltek. I'd read about him. He's some sort of shaman. No, the word used was Hayoka, able to take the evil and anger of others into himself and bury it. I know we deal with immortals living for hundreds, if not thousands of years, but it still feels far-fetched to think that anyone can magically take away another person's anger like that. And what happens if they take too much?
So Duncan's old friend Jim Koltek is in town. He calls up Mac. They agree they're going to get together after Jim gets some food. And and we see him pull up to the restaurant in his really nice Humvee, by the way.
Yeah. I'd
like to point that out, like a real Hummer. And he feels the presence of an immortal. And when he goes up to the motorcycle like flashes white for a second. And he sort of, he clutches at the little medicine bag he's got around his neck. And you can tell he's nervous about what's happening, but also kind of knows what he's got to do. So he goes into the restaurant and there's a guy in there in a biker jacket holding the place up, putting a gun at the owner. He feels Jim come in, and then they kind of have a little standoff before going outside and having a fight that we just see in silhouette before there's a quickening. And then Jim Koltek comes walking back in, only now he's putting on the leather jacket and the man yep. who owns the restaurant is thanking him for helping him out, and he just walks up to the register, takes all the money out of it, and then shoots the owner of the restaurant and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to Duncan and Richie, and they're heading out to meet up with Jim, and they're meeting him way out in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. They're joking around and talking about stuff, and Duncan's telling him, well, we need to get out in nature a little bit more. It's nice and beautiful out here. And as they're walking across a bridge, Richie feels the immortal, and it's Jim. And he's been hearing from Duncan is how great this guy is and how they have a conversation dealing with like spirituality, but also like the mysticism and the magic that Jim can apparently do as a Hyoka, which we'll get into.
Right.
So Richie goes to shake his hand and Jim just pulls a sword on him and tries to kill him right there.
Like, yeah.
Without question. So Duncan has to step in and Duncan fights him off enough, knocks him off the bridge. And they go down to look for his body, and Richie's like, I don't know why we're even looking for this guy. He's obviously a terrible person. How do you even know it's him? And Duncan finds his medicine bag and says it's him, and we get a flashback.
Yep.
We come out of the flashback as Duncan's finishing up his story, and the news shows the robbery and security camera footage from the restaurant, clearly showing that it's Coltec that shot the guy.
Yeah. That's some good security cam footage.
Really good. Really good. So Richie and Duncan go to Joe's bar and they're talking to him and they're, you know, Duncan is very confused. None of this feels like it should be happening with Jim Coltec. Even Joe is like, Coltec is like the closest thing immortals get to a saint. I mean,
right.
And Richie is very confused, and he's like, this guy's not a good guy. I saw it. He tried to kill me type of thing. And Duncan's like, no, it wasn't. And then Duncan brings up something to Joe called a dark quickening, which...
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and Joe immediately, like brushes it off as a myth. Like, there's no recorded version of it, none of that, but Duncan kind of believes in it. And a dark quickening is essentially what happens when you've taken the head of an evil immortal, and too much evil eventually it overcomes you. Because, as we know with quickenings, you absorb their essence and their power.
Mm-hmm.
And so the theory being that if you absorb too much badness, too much evil, that you will turn evil yourself.
Right.
And Duncan's like, Duncan is convinced that that's happened to Coltec, and we get another flashback. Kind of showing why he thinks that. So Duncan eventually tracks him down by going to the places where the last immortal that Coltec took the head of, Kant, would go. And he finds him. Jim has killed a guy in an alley and is stealing his money when Duncan walks up, and they just have it out right there.
And
Duncan beats him, but he doesn't take his head. He can't do it. So he knocks him out, ties him up, and he takes him out into the woods to a holy place that they've been to before, some holy ground, in an attempt to be the Hyoka for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Hyoka is what Jim Coltec was. It was sort of a type of shaman that could essentially absorb evil and anger into himself and kind of render it inert. And he had been doing this for thousands of years, a couple of thousand years probably. And so Duncan tries to do that for him. Well, he fails. And Coltec gets away. The only reason he doesn't fight him right there is they're on holy ground. But he takes off. So Duncan goes back to the bar. Joe and Richie are there. I love Joe trying to explain It's a Wonderful Life to Richie.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And Duncan reveals, yep, Coltec's gone. He's gone. He's gone completely bad. I can't help him anymore. And so he tells Joe, I need to know where he is. You need to find him for me and tell me. So Joe does. They find him. He robbed a pawn shop, killed the owner, and then burned the place down. And that triggers Duncan to realize that it's not just Kant that is manifesting himself inside of Coltec. Now this guy, Corland, is also because of the fire. And all of that. So Duncan figures out, okay, he knows how to track him then, because he's done it once before. So he tracks down Coltec, and this time he challenges him, and they do have their fight. And Duncan knows that the only way he can save his friend is to take his head. That his friend Jim Koltek is no more. And so he does. And he has a quickening. And quite the quickening it is.
Yeah.
However, that doesn't end our episode.
No.
So after Duncan's quickening, which Joe has witnessed, because he did follow him, Duncan goes to the bar and is acting not very McLeod-like. He starts hitting on a woman very brazenly. When she rebuffs him and slaps him, he slaps her. When Joe tries to step in, he just punches Joe in the face and leaves. He ends up going to the dojo where Richie is practicing, and he just straight up attacks Richie.
Yeah.
And they have it out in the dojo, and he's about to take Richie's head when Joe shows up, shoots him, basically unloads his revolver into Duncan and tells Richie to get out of there. And Richie is just confused. He has no idea what to think now. He's been cut. Mm-hmm. His friend has just attacked him. Joe just shot Duncan in front of him, so he leaves. Joe ties him up, and when Duncan comes back, he's angry. And he basically tells Joe, let me out of these ropes and I'm going to kill you. And Joe's trying to reason with him, but then comes very close to taking his head a couple of times before kind of calling a bluff, sort of going on faith that they're friends enough that Duncan won't kill him, and cuts the ropes and he's kind of resigned to it. When Duncan grabs a sword at him, Joe's like, all right, yeah, you'll probably kill me now, but you know, it is what it is. And Duncan has some kind of flashes, and there's a little bit of the Hayoka kind of in him, and he's fighting with the evil, and he stumbles out.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing we see with Duncan is him with a pack over his shoulder, getting onto a boat, going to who knows where.
I think we know.
Koltek is as close as an immortal gets to being a saint. As far as we know, he has not taken a hit in years.
Try yesterday.
Special guests this week. There's a couple of guest stars. Byron Chief Moon plays Jim Koltek. And I liked his performance. I thought that he did a good job with the material. I think if I had a complaint, it's not his performance. It's that Jim Koltek is less a character and more of a plot device.
Yeah.
You know, he's there in the flashback to help Duncan, and then he's in the present to give us a dark quickening and to show how that works, and then for Duncan to take his head and become evil. And the bummer of that is that Koltek is the first that I can think of native or aboriginal type character to be an immortal. I can't think of another native we've had, like Native American especially, that's been an immortal off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Or really any type of character like that. So it's kind of a bummer that the first one we get is essentially just there to move the plot along. But what he is given to do, he does well. I think that he hit both sides of it quite well. The kind of reserved, quiet, hey, this is what I do guy. And then we see the transitional version of that in that second flashback. And then when he goes full bad, he's having fun with it. And he's sneering and he's just sadistic and mean and enjoying all of it. So I thought his performance was good. I just kind of wish that, and again, doing it in a single episode to introduce him, show the dark quickening and show his, the kind of the fall and all of that. It's a lot to cover in one episode.
Right.
So I kind of wish, like anything else, I just wish we'd had more of him to sort of flesh that out and give him a full character. But what we got of him, I thought was pretty good. What did you think?
Yeah. No, I thought he was good. He feels like one of those guys that I wish we had seen in an earlier episode of them just buddying up.
Mm-hmm.
So that him coming and calling Duncan felt more like here's Koltek. Cool.
Yep. And I mean, it's kind of one of those things where he is the evil immortal of the week, but he's not. Koltek isn't an evil immortal. He's not a bad guy himself. In fact, he's an incredibly good and altruistic person because of the Hayoka and how he's done that for however many hundreds of years that he's done it. but we don't get enough sense of that because he's just in and out so quickly. And that's the bummer of it, because it would have, I feel like there would have been more of an emotional, core to it if we had known Jim prior to all this and seen how he, how good he was more than one time with Duncan, and then to have him flip, and then to have him just show, like, almost, it almost would have been better if all of the background stuff with Duncan had been in previous episodes and we just see him here immediately in evil mode.
Right.
Because then it hits you with that gut punch. But syndicated show, right? We don't have...
Right.
It's a different type of storytelling. So that's the bummer of it. But I really liked what they did with what they had time for and what was on the page, I thought was good. And Byron Chief Moon, I think, was fantastic.
For sure.
The other guest star I really wanted to mention was just Ben Emanuel as Bryce Corland in the flashback, just because he was like this over the top theatrical beat poet. And it was hilarious to me. Because it just fit like Greenwich Village, 1958, and it fit so perfectly. And he was just like ridiculous. And I loved that. It was just so silly.
That whole scene was hilarious.
But really, I mean, that's kind of it. Like the other immortal, Harold or Harvey Kant or whatever his name was.
Harry Kant.
I mean, he's barely on screen. Like all we know, we're told that he's a bad guy, but that's it. We don't actually see it other than him trying to kill somebody for reasons. So,
and it was interesting this episode, the way they basically gave you a mini bio of each immortal as we came upon them, to basically kind of not waste time filming who these people are, but just tell you straight up, this is who this guy is, born this.
Here you go. That was different. It made it feel more like a Watcher Chronicle kind of, or like a, like,
yeah,
it was, like the story was being told from the Watcher's point of view in this episode, which was different. So yeah, not a ton of like, just crazy good work from the special guests, partly because this episode isn't really focused on them. They're just there to help facilitate what's going on with Duncan, Richie, and Joe.
And what will happen to you?
I am Hayoka. My cup has no bottom.
Then help me.
Flashbacks, we have essentially two. It starts in 1872, and I liked the way that they started this flashback, because we've had kind of hints that it's always Duncan sort of telling a story, and there's even been a few times where they come out of the flashback and you can tell by the dialogue and the context that Duncan's been actually like just retelling this story to whomever is there. But I liked how they started this one out in an effective way to tie it into something we've seen before, and thus giving us that emotional feel that we were missing, that we were just talking about kind of missing from the whole Koltek parts. They did get some of that in the flashback, because they tied it into Duncan's time with the Sioux tribe.
Right.
And Kern, that we had seen previously in season 3. So that gives us a nice context and sort of a foothold. And then we see why Duncan was so angry and hurtful by the time he met Koltek. So it was a good way to do it, and it was the perfect amount of that previous footage to get the point across without feeling like you're overindulgent or using too much of it. So that was great.
Because we've seen that footage be used before, and they practically showed the whole flashback in a flashback talking about it, and it was just like, why? I remember us talking about, like, we did not need to see all that. And then this time around, they edited it perfectly. They told us just what we needed to know, just what we needed to see, and then did part two of that story, that flashback story, which was really neat.
Yeah, and to continue with the way that they did was good. I liked how it's kind of ambiguous. Were they actually out in that holy place, or was it all in their heads inside the jail cell? And they don't really tell you, which was kind of cool. But I loved how that was all set up. I loved all the conversation between Jim and Duncan, both in the cell and out there, was great. Because I loved how he's like, you know, Duncan's trying to hold on to his anger. He's like, I want to be angry. And Jim just tells him it's not in your nature.
Right.
And how they, how he starts off speaking Sioux to him.
That was super cool. cool, because then Jim was like, oh, you're not a brainless immortal.
Right, exactly. So that was really great. And it had that awesome line where Jim's holding up the cup of water and tells him that, you know, one more drop and it will consume you, but I can empty the cup. And Duncan's like, but what'll happen to you? Oh, I'm Hayoka. My cup has no bottom. I was like, oh, that's good. It's good stuff right there.
Yeah.
And then the second flashback, so we get that. So we've established who Jim is to Duncan. But the second time just furthered that along, because here is this beat poet, and, you know, then we see Duncan come in looking really cool. Like, yeah. that was badass Duncan MacLeod right there. Collar yeah, flipped up, the sunglasses, all that. But he comes in, and I liked how Corland is up there doing his beat poetry, chain smoking, like straight out of the 50s. And as soon as he sees Duncan, he doesn't flip out. None of that. He's just like, oh, I think this guy is here to kill me, everybody. Like, he's just keep that guy, like, Corland, for as kind of dopey as he came across, was also really cool, right? Like, he fit the beat movement perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it seems dopey just because we're so far removed from that movement.
Yeah.
But he did a good job. And yeah, it was interesting to see him not flip out when Duncan showed up. He's just like, all right, see you, folks. Yeah. We got to take care of some business.
And he pulls his sword out right on stage, which I love. But then before Duncan can get to him, there's a quickening and he goes out there and there's Jim. And what I liked was we had three different versions of Jim in this episode. So we had the version that Duncan meets in the jail cell and that helps him out and takes his anger from him. And then we have the version that Duncan meets in New York City, who also steps in and deals with this evil so that Duncan doesn't have to. He's kind of, he's still being the Hayoka, and he sort of takes it upon himself, but he's right at his breaking point and he knows it. And he kind of, that's when he realizes he's got to stop taking heads now. Because he has found the bottom and his cup is almost full.
Right. I was going to say, that cup actually does have a bottom, apparently. So
that was kind of cool. Again, fleshing that out a little bit more would have been nice, but we just didn't have the runtime for it. And then to see him later on where he reluctantly had to step in because he felt another evil presence. And he just can't not do it. And that was the tipping point. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. So it's like, I really like that. But I just liked how these two flashbacks were the right length and the right amount of information to move the plot along in the overall runtime that we had. Had we, were this a feature length thing, hour and a half, 2 hours, and they could have fleshed out a little bit more, I'd have loved it. But for the 40-minute runtime that we got, this was the perfect usage of, and it was back to kind of our old format of, here's a couple of flashbacks.
Right. I was going to say, we didn't get a handful of them like we have a couple episodes before, so.
Yeah. They experimented with that a little bit with like flashback present, kind of peppering it through. And this was like, nope, here's your flashback. And then we come back and here's one more and that's it. And so it was a nice return to form, but they were well done. They all looked good. I enjoyed these flashbacks quite a bit.
Yeah, they were good.
Mac, the guy tried to take your scalp from just below the chin. What's the figure?
He's a friend.
Yeah, sure. And if you hadn't given him a flying lesson, we'd both be missing our heads by now.
So we got both Richie and Joe in this episode. And I think we'll start with Richie. So he's at the beginning of the episode, him and Duncan, being very pally, playful, which I really liked. My memory of this episode was much more negative about Richie. And what it was is it was my memory of him and how he reacted to Coltec. To me, in what I had remembered, was that it didn't make sense and it felt forced to have him like not trusting Jim. But watching it, it makes perfect sense. All he's heard is good stuff about this Jim Coltec dude. And the first time he meets him, the guy just pulls a sword and tries to take his head off right there.
Right.
Sight unseen without question. So it was like, no, I get that. But then...
Yeah. Stories can only carry so much weight until you actually meet the person. And when he meets Jim, he meets possessed Jim.
Yeah. Yep. And then after that, it's less Richie being kind of a dingus about Jim and more of like, you know, this guy isn't who you said he was, but then it's kind of Richie's like curious and he's confused and he doesn't know what's going mm-hmm. on. And then he's trying to figure out the dark quickenings and he's sort of, Joe is trying to explain to him, it's a wonderful life. And he's just like, I don't understand what you're talking about, man. What does this have to do with what's going on right now?
Right.
But he's trying to figure it out. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
I have been more impressed with Stan Kirsch in this series than I remembered him being. Like, I always loved Richie.
Yeah.
But the actual, like, good acting that he was doing and the character work that he did with Richie is better than I remembered. So it's gone mm-hmm. from me liking the character of Richie and being like, oh, Richie, you know, to, no, this guy's, like, the emotional center of the series in a lot of ways.
Right. And it's impressive really to good. Think about, it's impressive to think about the way he's been written this way. Like,
mm-hmm.
not only has Stan Kirsch been acting it well, he's had really good material to act with. And
yep.
somehow they got it in their heads. Like, I don't know if they made a Bible for this show or something, but they knew where Richie was going and they kept him on that path the whole time. And like,
yeah,
this one, I love at the beginning, he's questioning the supernatural because he's like, Duncan, we exist. Immortals exist. How can something more and something different not exist as well? How? And Duncan's just like, well, I've been around long enough that I haven't seen all this stuff. And Richie's like, yeah, but how can it not happen if we are who we are, you know?
I mean,
so how, that was really interesting.
How great it is to be, how great is it to be watching an episode and hearing a conversation you and I have had about these characters from these characters? Because it's uh-huh. true. Like, what I like is that Duncan is kind of non-committal about it. He's like, look, I've been alive for 400 mm-hmm. years. I've never seen a werewolf or a vampire, but there are things that go beyond explanation.
Right. And I Richie, don't think those exist, but my buddy is a magic person, yeah. so.
But then you got Richie, who's just like, if you had told me 5 years ago that immortals existed, I would have said you were crazy, and now look where we are. So who knows?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that. And yeah, it's not only the character work, but the writing of Richie is so much of a higher quality than I remembered it being. I just remembered liking yeah. him, but it's also good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sure, there are times where, you know, they wrote, especially early on, they wrote some bad humor that just didn't mm-hmm. fit, but they moved beyond that fairly quickly. And even now, when he says something, when he has a joke or he has a line that feels like kind of, yeah, it's endearing because it's less that it's poorly written and more it's like, no, this guy is just kind of awkward sometimes mm-hmm. and he's just figuring things out.
Right.
So yeah, I, and then to have things end the way that they did with him and Duncan and kind of just the plot threads that can come out of that, because here's Richie mm-hmm. back at the dojo doing Richie stuff, practicing, and Duncan shows up. And I loved how Richie had finally kind of, he had come full circle on everything, where he was no longer like, you know, he didn't have bad things to say about Jim. And he was like, I understand, you know, he's there consoling Duncan or trying to, that's his right. whole thing. And he's like, you did what you had to do, and I know you hated it. And that's his knowledge of Duncan and their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to say that to Duncan and Duncan's reaction to be what it was of like, no, I enjoyed it. And then he pulls his sword out and slashes him. The look of confusion on his face makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then Duncan's just like right there in the dojo starts going at him. And you've got Richie just fighting for his life.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, and then the confusion he has when Joe shows up, because here's Richie who doesn't want to give up on Mac.
Right.
This is his friend and he doesn't want to leave Dawson there with him, but Dawson's like, you got to get out of here. And so he reluctantly has to go, but it was like, mm-hmm. that was such a good, if you're going to write in a cliffhanger like that, that's a good way to do it. I thought that they did yeah. such a good job of that.
So, mm-hmm.
Really, really good stuff. And then Joe has all sorts of stuff going on for him too.
Oh yeah.
He's, you know, you started off with, mentioning the dark quickening and how Joe is just like, that's a myth. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing to support that.
Mm-hmm.
But here is blatant kind of proof right in front of him where you know, in one sentence, he's talking about Koltek being almost a saint and just one of the good guys. And then, you know, the next thing he knows, this guy's like just going on a murder spree.
Right. The thing I thought was so interesting about Joe in this episode is this is Watcher Joe. He's like, if we haven't seen it, if we haven't recorded it, how could it possibly have happened? The Watchers have been watching Immortals forever. We would know if something, and Duncan's like, are you sure about that?
Yeah. And then, you know, Duncan again kind of trades on their friendship of like, I need to know where he is and all this. And Joe's saying, it's breaking the rules. And we get Duncan once again telling him, break the rules then. You're going to do this. And sort of, so you get the, you get a little bit of reluctance from Joe there because he's been burned by it in the past now. This has happened before and it hurt him and he doesn't want to necessarily go down that road. It was just earlier this season that that it went horribly wrong for him, but it's that friendship and he can't help himself. And so he does that, but then he follows Duncan anyway.
Right.
Which is smart. So, and then you have to, then he has to deal with, you know, having shot Duncan and realizing by that point he realizes, okay, this is real. This happened to Koltek and now it's happened. I witnessed it and it happened to Duncan and I've got to help my friend. And the only way he could do that is through his revolver and tying him up. But to have what shows their friendship is the risk he takes when he cuts the ropes.
Yep.
And lets Duncan free, knowing full well that there is a better than average chance that that's the last thing he'll ever do on this earth.
Yep.
But he's willing to take that risk for Duncan anyway. And I love that gesture of friendship and trust that Dawson still has, that his friend is in there somewhere, regardless of what he's seen and what's been going on. And he just stands there, you know, basically what Duncan puts the sword to his neck and he just stands there waiting. Like that's a powerful movement, moment right there. And,
for sure,
you know, and then he's got to watch his friend kind of stumble away. And now it's like, where are they? You know, where is everyone? And
right.
So it's a good kind of mid-season break for all three of our main characters.
Oh yeah.
And to do it in a way that doesn't have to, like, you could say, oh, it feels like it's manufactured drama. Well, no, they wrote in a reason for Duncan to have this. So it doesn't, instead of it feeling like a forced drama or like some sort of miscommunication, like the standard classic TV trope of people not communicating well, and that causes the misunderstanding, this is like a straight up Duncan's
which has happened in this show.
Yes, it has.
Like, we've talked about that. So the fact that like you said, we're beyond that at this point. This is a whole different thing.
Yeah, they wrote in a legit reason to have this strife and this conflict between the three of them that doesn't just have to be, I'm an immortal, you're a watcher, and we can't be friends anymore. It's like, no, Duncan isn't all there anymore. He's attacked Richie, and Joe can't help him. And now all three of them are in the wind, and we don't know what's going to happen next. It's a great way to do that cliffhanger and that mid-season thing and all of it.
Yep.
So I loved it. I loved the stuff with Richie and Joe. And this episode was really about Duncan, Richie, and Joe. And that's where, like I said, Koltek kind of is a plot device.
He leads us there.
Yes. So it's good stuff by the three, by our three mains. And again, as we say all the time, if Richie and Joe are in an episode, it's better.
Yep.
And both of them, even more so.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, baby, that's cool with death. Because we all know there can be
only one.
So our final fight isn't really a final fight. There's like several.
Right.
There's two fights between Koltek and Duncan. There's technically one between Koltek and Kant. And we also have one between Duncan and Richie. Now, the one between Koltek and Kant, beginning of the episode, is just some silhouettes. There's not really much there to talk about. The two fights between Koltek and Duncan, what I liked about them was they were, and actually all the fights in this, the fights weren't the focus of what was going on, so they were very quick. And but it's what I would imagine an actual sword fight between two very skilled fighters would be. it wouldn't take long.
Right.
Because even with both of them being extremely skilled, somebody's getting the upper hand somewhere. It's just going to happen. Like, really good, two people that really know how to fight, the fight doesn't last very long. It's not like boxing or MMA, because there are rules of things that you can't do. A real fight isn't going to take very long because somebody's going to make a mistake or somebody's going to react just perfectly and that's it. And it's all over. So I kind of liked that they did that.
Or in this case, somebody's going to be that much better, because Duncan already said, like, Jim's been kind of out of the game for a while for a reason. So I, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, well then that means Duncan's going to be the better one. And he is. Like, every time him and Jim come to clash, Duncan's got the upper hand.
Yep. Yeah. And he doesn't finish him the one time, and then he does the second time, even if it's reluctantly. And then when evil Duncan takes on Richie in the dojo, again, it's not a very long fight. It's over with quickly because Duncan is that much better than Richie. But the interesting part of that is, it's, again, it's cocky Duncan that we've seen before, but we usually see that when he's, you know, against an evil immortal. But it's that version of Duncan, and it's Richie fighting for his life and holding on decently, but Duncan almost toying with him.
And, and also it's Richie not understanding what the heck's going on. So he's not in it 100%.
No, because he's just reacting.
He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. He doesn't think he needs to be 100% against Duncan, even though he absolutely should be.
Yes. And also, Duncan's, like, style in that last fight is very showy and very cocky. And he's using a lot of flourish that we don't normally see with Duncan. Even when he's angry, we don't normally see that out of Duncan. But here he's doing it because he's just toying and playing with Richie, and is just going to eventually be like the slashes and like the injuring him a little bit. It's just to give him more of a middle finger before he takes his head. So I liked all of that work. And the choreography was great. All the choreography for as quick as they were, it was done well. It was kind of neat to see them do the fights with Coltec in like an alley, a couple of back alleys. And there wasn't a lot of use of like environment in these fights. Which there didn't need to be. So I very much like that. Look, overall, this is a good episode. It's certainly a step up from the Blitz, and we both liked the Blitz more than I remembered liking it. But this kind of goes to a different level. It's that, it's again, it's that mid-season sort of break, kind of midpoint finale. They've got to have something, and I wasn't even thinking about it until the very end. I'm like, oh, that's right. They got to write a reason for him to leave Seacover and end up in Paris at some point. And this was how they did it here. And I like, so I liked the way that they were able to accomplish that in a new way. But also introduce some new lore and this whole idea of dark quickenings. Cause we've seen quickenings and we've seen them affect immortals before, but it's usually just been sort of absorbing power of like ability and just getting stronger. So to have this idea of, oh no, you're not just absorbing the strength of somebody, but if they're bad, you know, you're absorbing some of that too. And then it comes to the question of like, well, with as many heads as we've seen Duncan take, and we know he's taken over time, like, he's got to be just this avatar of goodness to be able to hold all that at bay as much as he has. And to have a character who had that overcome him is pretty interesting. I also just, I don't know, I just like how they didn't have to use the same tropey reasons to get Duncan out of Seacover. So that was neat. Plus, just to have a character like Coltec and say, okay, no, here's a good guy, and this is taking him too far, and now Duncan takes all that into him. How is he going to overcome this? You know, where do we go from here? And so it makes you start to think about, and playing with the idea of supernatural and things beyond rational description is enough, because now it's like, okay, maybe something along those lines, something mystical, is going to help Duncan. We don't know, but it opens up a lot more doors. in the
story. And one other thing we didn't talk about too much is how well and not over the line they went with the special effects on showing us what was the bad juju. You know, when Koltek realizes it, you know, they do some, you know, basically, you know, reversing the color on certain objects and people and stuff. Like, I appreciated that they didn't go too far with that. They used the majority of the special effects on that last quickening when Duncan took it all in, and it really made sense, and it works for me. But like all the other little stuff here and there, they handled it a lot better than they have in other episodes, for sure.
They did. I mean, does it look dated? Yes, it's very early sort of digital video editing and the stuff that you could pull off. And I think it's actually analog video editing and sort of analog effects. So it's a very, very early days of that, but they didn't overuse it. They used enough of it. Yes, it looks dated, but I don't really care about that because the rest of the show does. The clothing alone gives away when it was made. That's fine. But you're right. They didn't overdo that. Even that last quickening where they used a good deal of it, I still think it fit the feel of what they were going for. So I liked that.
Right. And it makes sense when we're talking about a dark quickening. There's got to be something different about it. And they really kind of emphasize that. Again, without going over the line. Even for a big, flashy quickening.
Which this was.
It was not too much.
They had the pyro budget they saved up for this one.
Right. They definitely used their budget on it. But again, it didn't feel like it was like way over the line or anything.
No, not at all. Nope, I liked it. I give this the... I saw the IMDb rating for this episode's like an 8, and I buy that. Huh. Like it's rated one of the higher rated episodes of this season, and makes sense.
For sure.
And again, I'll just keep hammering it home. I like expanding the lore and giving us new things, and doing so in a way where you've got characters who are like, yeah, you know, I grew up very cynical. If I couldn't see it, it didn't happen. But now look, there's immortals running around, so who knows what could be happening? And then to bring in, off the coattails of that, this idea of a dark quickening, and it's like, cool. Now we've got some new stuff to play with. We're 3.5 seasons into the show. We got to start going in some different directions and at least planting the seeds for potential new stuff to new ground to tread. So yeah, definitely a good episode, worth watching, and it leaves you on a nice cliffhanger with a to be continued. Duncan's on a boat to somewhere, and Well, we know he's going to end up in Paris. Nobody in the show knows where he's going to end up, so I kind of like that.
Right.
So next week's episode is episode 14, Deliverance. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we were going to have the return of Mr. Adam Pearson, a.k.a. Mythos. So that'll be fun. And I'm really looking forward to seeing this whole plot thread of the dark quickening and immortal, evil immortal Duncan, getting wrapped up, and how they're going to do that. I have some memory of what they did, but I don't. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah,
so that'd be great. If you enjoy this show and you want to watch us record, watch us do the recording live, you can do that on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/TVsTravis. You can be like Ace Tigris or Kurt, VO by Kurt. Amy Frost is in there, our cohort as well. Just hanging out in the chat room while we record. You can see the banter in between segments and all of that as we go. So definitely check that out. And then the show comes out on Thursdays at anchor.fm/Let's Watch Highlander. Or just search for Let's Watch Highlander and Audie's awesome art anywhere, any podcast platform. You will find that. Once again, you did... I loved this week's art. That was so cool looking.
Good, because I was struggling on what to do for this week, and then that hit me, and I was like, "Ooh."
It makes sense because our antagonist isn't Koltek, right? So you could have drawn his kind of cavalry sword, but you didn't really have many good images of it, so
right.
That was going to be kind of tough, but to have it be sort of that ethereal dark quickening thing is pretty cool. So I definitely like that. And you post the art on Tuesdays on Twitter. And that is Twitter is at
oddly normal one with the one spelled out.
Excellent. And I am on Twitter at TV's Travis. We love to talk Immortals. We love to talk movies, pop culture, classic TV. We do a show called Those Were the Days together with our friends Steven and Amy. And the four of us talk classic TV every week. We just recorded an episode last night on The Greatest American Hero, which was super, super fun. So
believe it or not.
Yeah. You can catch that Monday nights on a live stream or just search for Those Were the Days. And again, Audie's amazing art, and you'll find us. So until next week, in episode 14, Deliverance, remember that there can be only one Hyatt.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.